marks in here, the smarks in here, yeah.
Doom. I reference Cena so much, I'm sure you assume that I got a man crush, but I swear it's just random, not fandom. Ignore the lifelike mannequin. You can't see it, I didn't see it. Next to me in my Kia, and drive somewhere scenic to watch a sunset in Phoenix, share a box of Kleenex, to leave it in the middle of a bee's nest.
Yo,
it's your boy Sean Puff. I'm here with Lonnell Walker, and this is Smarks, Spot Monkeys. And Super Kicks!
Let's go!
What is up? We're live for the first time ever.
Yes.
I've done live radio, but never as Smart Spot Monkeys and Super Kicks. So, not my first time live, not our first time live, but first time live with this show. So, psyched for it. This is going to be a good time. Happened because of, out of necessity, because of the snowstorm. And, this could become a thing. Maybe we'll do this more than once. Maybe we can do this every once in a while, throw off a live episode for the people.
Correct. I'm all about, I mean, I think this is how we should approach the Smarkies when we get there, but yep.
And we could. We'll talk about that. Maybe that's how we'll do that. Because we can bring other people on and have them come on and do it.
And present the awards, yep.
Yeah, I like that. Well, anyway, I think this is going to be a fun week. A lot of stuff to talk about since we went off the air last time. So we went off the air last time, and as we were recording, they did that live WrestleMania, whatever you want to call it, kickoff. And so we were before that, like literally right before it happened, we came up with our thoughts, and everything's changed now. Everything's blown out of the water. There's so much that's gone on in a week since then, which is nuts. I'm excited about it. There's a lot to talk about, a lot to break down. So we're going to cover most of this episode is going to be about this road to WrestleMania, what's going to happen in WrestleMania, and what's this going to lead to. And we got a few other things to talk about. I want to introduce a new segment this week that I'm going to call Rumor and Innuendo. And I'm just going to throw out a couple things, Rumor and Innuendo. We're not going to get deep into any of them just because it's just rumor and innuendo. We don't know how true it is. So I'm going to throw a couple things out, and we'll each get a quick react on it and then move on to the next thing. That's something we'll do later on in the show. But let's get right into it because there's tons to talk about. We got to have a Tony Khan moment, but let's get right into the meat and potatoes of this thing and talk about that kickoff and everything that happened there. Rock slapping Cody Rhodes in the face and joining up with the Bloodline and changing everything that everybody thought was going to happen. What were your thoughts on that?
I mean, he slapped the shit out of him.
Yeah, dude.
I think it's set up, you know, an alliance. You know, I saw Seth jump in behind him, you know what I mean? So I think that there's more that's being developed from that. Some good pivots probably being taken. But it was interesting because I guess for now it puts the head of the table conversation on hold and has them like galvanizing behind each other for a little bit. I just don't know how that's going to end up turning out in the long run.
It's another layer to this Bloodline story, which is great because it was getting old. It was getting played out. You're going to have something. And here's a way to make it go on, even if you have Cody finish the story at WrestleMania, right? Because whatever's going to happen here is going to lead to more with the Bloodline. So I think that's kind of cool. But I'll tell you what I see. I think the rumor and innuendo on the internet is real, and that's what's going to happen. We're going to see a tag team match headlining night one of WrestleMania with The Rock teaming up with Roman to take on Cody Rhodes and Seth. So that'll be
just good. In case y'all missed it, this is The Rock giving Cody the five-finger greeting over here.
Like, I was not expecting that. Was not expecting that at all.
And ooh, then he got the whole cheek too, man.
Oh, he got him good. Slapped the shit out of him. Slapped the shit out of him. He was like, yo, don't talk about my family. Yo. And that was a That was a Will Smith, Chris Rock slap right there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I had a little flashback. I was like, is this the Oscars? What's going on?
Yeah.
So I think that that's all interesting. I mean, I think that they're pivoting. I mean, I think they had to pivot. I think that, you know, you were right about the fan demand kicking into play. And it's actually good to see that, you know, like the fans can make some things change if they are strong enough. And it's kind of crazy because I'm used to being in spaces where the fans don't. They rather complain online, but they don't apply the right pressure and shit doesn't move and it's business as usual. But clearly in the WWE, the fans are a big part of the voting power and how things are going to move, especially with new leadership in place. So
maybe. Or maybe this was the plan all along. Maybe, but you got to tell a story, right? So this tells a story. Maybe the plan wasn't, hey, bring the Rocket and have them. I don't know if the whole tag team thing was the plan all along, but I think the plan originally was to get it back to Cody versus Roman somehow. And this just snowballed into something different and they ran with it and was like, hey, whatever. We had this idea of how we were going to do this, but instead of doing it this way, we're going to do it this way, and this is going to be nasty. And I'm for it. I think it'll be pretty cool. The only thing is, I don't know if I want Seth in that match. I guess whatever. It's kind of cool. But I'd rather see Jay. Jay's Cody's boy. Like, Cody brought Jay after Jay left the Usos, right?
Yeah.
Cody,
yeah.
Like, Jay left, and he was gone for like a month maybe, not even on TV at all. And Cody got him to come over to Raw. So they're boys. So I would love to see Jay and Cody versus Rock and Roman. But I guess that's a whole nother thing that I don't want to get into because there's too many moving parts there, I guess.
Yeah. I think the way they're playing it right now is smart. Because it keeps them... Because again, if there's a long-term story here and I can see some deception happening in the bloodline, then I think you can still have time to play that out a little bit later and play all these different dynamics out. As far as the Cody situation, I mean, if they are playing up a story, they're playing it pretty good because, you know, I mean, the New York Post is talking about this. And on the New York Post, it was talking about Cody saying the reason why he changed his mind in the first place is because of the fans. So that's why I'm running with that more than anything. But like you said, I mean, it could just be masterful. I just don't know if they're that savvy. You know, like maybe they could be that savvy. Maybe since the changing of the guard, they got some really good writers in there because they did plan this. Then all I can do is applaud. They got my ass pulled up to the day, and it's been like news cycle has been nuts. And it's been somehow fast enough that it's been pushing the Vince shit to the side.
Right.
As much as it's still trying to make its headway, it doesn't seem to be cracking through.
Yes. That's why I don't know. And maybe this is all just, maybe they went in there and said, hey, listen, let's bring the Rock in and see what the hell happens and just use this to stir shit up because it's going to do something. The fans are going to go one way or the other and we're just going to run with it and see what happens and play it out that way. Maybe that was the whole plan. See it out. Well, play it out. It's not a bad plan, right? We're dealing with all this Vince crap. Hey, why don't we throw the Rock into the mix and see what happens? See what happens. See what we can get out of it. We'll get something out of it that'll get nobody talking about Vince and everybody talking about the Rock. Like, why not? And now the whole rumor and innuendo with the whole thing is if they go this route, right, and they end up taking, they end up doing this tag match and then Cody finishes the story at WrestleMania, right? So Cody finishes the story at WrestleMania with Rock as the special guest referee. I don't know if we mentioned that part. So the rumor and innuendo is that the tag match, the Rock will end up being special guest referee in the match the following night. And he's going to stop Roman from doing something that's going to cost him the match and Cody's going to finish the story. So now you're going to have a whole big feud with Rock and Roman that's supposedly going to lead to WrestleMania 41. And WrestleMania 41, we're going to get Rock versus Roman for the head of the table. Which would be amazing. And it would signify that Rock is back. Which, why not? Why the hell not? He's in shape to do it. Come back and do it.
Yeah, I just... I always wonder how much, because, you know, he is in shape, but that's a large, you know, that's a physical commitment. And like we've seen, you know, we just saw CM Punk come back. He got injured, But the thing that I can say is coming from WWE, learning how to sell, then learning how to sell on movie and screen and understanding camera angles even better, I think that he could still sell a great fight and great matches just by having that expertise in his bag.
He just has to be a part-timer. Like, don't come back and be like, come back, but be like Goldberg when he was around. Be like Roman recently. Like, you don't see Roman all the time. Roman's there here and again. Use him sporadically and have him show up. And you know that he's like running things and he's doing his board things and he has his football league and all that going on, right? So it's easy to play off why he's not there. It's not like, oh, it's just The Rock just doesn't care. No, The Rock has so many other things to do that he can't be here all the time. But when he shows up, it's a big deal because The Rock's here.
Yeah. Kind of cool. I mean, I just wonder how much he's going to want to play up into, because with him owning his name now, okay, mm-hmm. In other spaces, it doesn't have the same. It's like when you get your master's, right, in music, right? Well, what does it matter if you have your master's if you don't have the apparatus that you need to push it and get it out there to the market, right? So right. His main market in being The Rock is in WWE. So for me, right. I just think that, yes, he won't be as active, but I still think he'll be more active than he's been because of how it affects that bottom line directly to him now.
Right, exactly, because it's merch. Merch. Look.
That's what I'm saying. He's going to sell.
This is a Stone Cold Steve Austin shirt, right? I bought this at Monday Night Raw that I went to last year on my birthday. Or the year before on my birthday, something like that. Stone Cold Austin has been retired for how long? Guess what? He got money because of this.
That's you a know fact. What I mean?
So Rock's going to come back and there's going to be new Rock merchandise. It won't be old stuff. It won't be like just stuff like this to go with your town. It'll be actual new Rock merchandise that he's going to be able to sell and going to be able to make money off of because he owns the name The Rock. And every time they use the name, he's going to make money off of it. Why wouldn't you come back? I don't care about Hollywood. Like, it's whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because Hollywood still has a middleman. He, in wrestling, in the wrestling world, in WWE, he's eliminated his middleman. And that's mm-hmm. very hard to do in any performance or athletic industry. And right. He's eliminated the middleman. So everything that comes in, from merch to everything, is under The Rock, is going directly to him. And that alone, like, just think about the dollars that he missed earlier on not owning it, right? But now he's back, and now it's not just him. How long he can play this out by being attached to the bloodline is just so much money on the table.
It goes further than that. So you have that part of it, right? And then he can do this whole bloodline thing. And then after the whole bloodline thing, or mixed in with it, however you want to do it, right, there's going to be a Triple H thing.
Yes.
Probably after. He becomes the head of the table. And he's running the bloodline. And he's like, maybe he's not wrestling anymore at that point. He's just the head of the table. And he's running everything for everybody else to do.
He's facilitating, yeah.
Right? And now you get a whole thing with him versus Triple H because he's got the bloodline. And he's got, because if they bring in Jacob Fatu, now you got Jacob Fatu. You've got Solo Sikoa. You've got the Usos. And there's a couple more young ones that they could bring in too. So they get all that whole family in here and you put them underneath The Rock as the manager of them. And then Triple H has to go get his crew together and put together like a sort of a new DX.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be dope. That's all.
I mean, I like that idea.
Year to a whole nother WrestleMania, setting that up with the big main event being a guy that's representing Triple H's guys that's representing the company as the faces against The Rock.
Makes sense too, because I was so concerned with what it would be like once Cody finishes the story. So this creates the next chapter, I guess, if that kind of energy happens and they galvanize around each other. I could see that. I'm still not convinced Cody's going to finish the story, though.
He's got to finish the story. You got to get it over with. There's other ways to go now. You don't need Roman Reigns to break Hulk Hogan's record. It's not needed. It's the third longest title reign, and he can just be just like Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair doesn't say she's the longest reigning women's champion. She said, "I'm the longest reigning women's champion of the modern era. Boom. That's it. That's all you got. And he is. And no one's going to touch him. He's the longest reigning world champion of the modern era. Take it. Run with it and use that. You don't have to break Hogan's record. You can still use that as a record point because since Hulk Hogan, since the early 90s, this guy's the longest reigning world champion.
Yeah.
Before that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I still think he wants to break it.
But again, I don't think it matters. Like, because that the time period that Hogan had that title reign is the same time period that Fabulous Moolah had her title reign. It went, well, hers went to like the late 80s, right? Hogan's went to like just the early 90s. Not even, because it was 86 he won it. Or 84. Right? 84 was when they, because it was just,
I wasn't born.
It was 40 years. So 84. We just had it this year. So 40 years. So 84. So he had a 4-year title reign. So 88, he wasn't champion anymore. Moolah had to be around that time. So the late 80s, same time as Moolah. Moolah, you're never going to break Moolah's record. That's never going to happen ever. It's like a 26-year record. She was world champion for like 26 years or 23 years.
Because
she was pimping out girls. She was pimping out all the girls. And they just were like, yeah, sure, you got the title. Whatever you want. She's like, yeah, none of these girls are going to beat me. They're my girls. You only got to wrestle in WWE if you came in through Moolah.
She was the gatekeeper.
Right. And the world champion. So
I don't know. We want to be careful. Make sure she wasn't Vince's Maxine, whatever the hell her name is.
Or she got canceled because she was pimping out. Like, she was making these girls sleep with wrestlers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so she was on it. Okay.
Well, you're going to see, when you watch those Dark Side of the Rings, there's one on Moolah. And it talks all about it. And it's like,
interesting.
Some girls say no, some girls say yes. So it's one of those things that never been actually definitively proven. But I mean, it's totally believable, understanding the situation of who she was, her position, and what she did, you know what I mean? The fact that she had a 26-year title reign, that tells you something.
It's wild, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's super wild.
And I get that the women's title wasn't, like, women's wrestling in that time period wasn't like it is today. You didn't look at it and be like, oh, who's the best woman wrestler? It was a, what's the word? It was an attraction, right? Women's wrestling was an attraction. It wasn't meant to be like, you didn't go to watch women's wrestling to be like, ooh, this is going to be a great match. It was just a special attraction. It was like, and women are going to get mad when I say this, but it doesn't matter because this is really what it was. I'm not saying it to be sexist or anything, but, or it's going to come off the other way when I say this too. It was just like the midgets. The midgets were an attraction. But seriously, whenever you went to go watch old WWF shows from back in the day, right?
The
70s and 80s on the WWE Network. You have Peacock. Look on it, right? Everybody at home, if you have Peacock, look on it. You're going to see the old shows and you'll see there'll be a match with the women's. There'll be a match with the midgets. Andre the Giant is in a match. Andre the Giant was in the main event a lot of times because the main event happened, and then they have a special attraction match. And it would be either Jimmy the Vice Snuka or Andre the Giant. And then there'd be a midget match in between it. So you'd have the world championship, a midget match, and then Andre the Giant. So I'm saying.
Yo, Nicky never fails, bro.
Yeah, you know what I mean? They're like, oh, what? We're an attraction? No, but that's literally how female women's wrestlers were used in that time period. It was just the 80s. The 80s was a weird time.
Yeah, Nick be cracking me up, yo. So what do you think about this idea that Jay and Jimmy Uso, one of them will cost the twin the Intercontinental Championship against Gunther at the Elimination Chamber? What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, because they still haven't finished the Jimmy and Jay story. Right. So they broke up. Jay took off for a while. Cody brought him on to Raw. And he hasn't had anything to do with him. They had that little interaction at the Rumble. That's the first time those two have went at it since they separated. So
the rumor in the window I'm reading is that They'll go through their elimination chamber. Then they'll have a match at WrestleMania on night one and then possibly hug it out at the end and be back in each other's good graces. What do you think about that?
That'd be kind of cool. That'd be kind of cool. But then I got to wonder, how does that go? Does that mean that is Jimmy going to leave the bloodline or is Jay going to go back to the bloodline? Right? And then if Jay goes back to the bloodline, does he turn on his boy Cody Rhodes at Mania and kick him in the face in the match? And that's why and stops it. I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens. Maybe Jimmy goes to peace and then he'll come out to help Roman. Maybe the whole bloodline turns on Roman. And they side with The Rock.
Where do you think CM Punk is playing into all of this?
I don't think he's playing it anywhere right now.
Like in the long term, if what we're saying is going to happen.
I don't know. I don't see, he'll probably have something to do with Cody down the road.
Okay.
Or okay. Even Seth. Here's the thing. What's Seth doing in all this? All this talk about everything else, but what about Seth? Seth is a championship. Seth's the other world champion. He's gonna be in a tag match with Cody Rhodes in Night One of Mania, which they've been, by the way, part of the reason why I agree with the thought that that's gonna happen is they've been talking about how the first WrestleMania ever, the main event, was Hulk Hogan and Mr. T versus Roddy Piper and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff.
Interesting.
With Cowboy Bob Orton in their corner. So that was the first WrestleMania ever. WrestleMania main event, that's what it was.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. I mean, I actually like the tag team dynamic. I thought it was a good solution to an overly complicated issue. But like you said, then what comes of that? Like, how does that develop in the night two? What will be the stipulation? If they have a tag team match, is there a stipulation on the winner and the loser that affects night one? I mean, night two?
I imagine there would be. Maybe that's how we get The Rock as a special guest referee. Roman and Rock win the match. Roman and Rock win the match, and Rock gets to be special guest referee. Roman pins Cody. Now Cody is even more down. He's, you know what I mean? He just got pinned. Now Rock's, now the deck stacked against him hardcore because Rock's the special guest referee. Rock doesn't do it. Everyone thinks he's going to do it. He stops Roman from cheating to win. And then Cody wins and finishes the story. And now you have a whole
interesting thing.
And the whole argument is you've been doing this, you're supposed to be the head of the table, and you're doing it the cheap way. You're not out there representing the family, right?
Yeah, I can see that. And
you get the throwback, you get this throwback, right? You get this throwback with the Usos or Solo Sikoa. I love it if Solo says, I did it for The Rock.
For The Rock.
like he gives the Samoan spike to Roman. I did it for The Rock. If any of you guys, you younger guys that don't know it, or wrestling fans just weren't watching wrestling then, back in the day, there was a whole storyline where Stone Cold Steve Austin got run over in the back. He got run over, a car hits him, and everyone thought it was Triple H and this and that, and Vince was pissed at him because he took out, and it ended up being Rikishi that did it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was like, Rikishi? What the hell did Rikishi do it for? He's got nothing to do with anything. And when he came out, he said, I did it for The Rock.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you brought Rikishi up, because I think that at some point, if the twins do make up and he's brought back into the bloodline, I think that Rikishi has to make an appearance and make it happen.
Right.
Somewhere I think he has to rein his boys in after WrestleMania. And then at WrestleMania, correct. I think he should show up at the end of the match or be a part of the match somehow. And like, just like they do in the bloodline. Okay, you guys got to fight each other and then you're going to get over and we're going to go back to being family over here. And then I think that sets up a beautiful story. But then how does that affect doing it for The Rock if The Rock helps Roman lose?
Yeah, because of this, right? where does everything come from? Like, so I don't know how, like, how much you know about the root of the bloodline and where it came from and how it got, how Roman became the tribal chief. The elders named him the tribal chief. Like the head of the family, right? Named him the tribal chief. And there's been, they've hinted a couple times with a, where they were upset with what he was doing, right? That's how Solo Sikoa got sent there. Solo Sikoa was sent there from the elders who were upset with what Roman was doing, and he was sent there to be the enforcer and to keep things in line. So there's already that seed that's been planted where they could come, and you have Rikishi show up, and you could go all out. You could have them all show. You could have Afa and Sika show up. Like, that would be dope. You got Afa, Sika, and Rikishi showing up, making these two get together, right? And that's why when The Rock does it, Roman's, like, upset about it, and they all take The Rock side. And now you get this whole thing with Roman. Roman's angry that they turned on him.
I think that would be fire. I think incorporating the whole bloodline somehow, getting Rikishi back into the fold, I think that would be fire. I still just kind of like somewhat still wonder, like, what is the, and I know that they must be thinking about this, but like, what is going to be the thing that, because like you said, we got Seth Rollins kind of in the background right now with so much going on. He's almost like an appetizer. He's not the main male, and he has a belt. So it's like, how do you almost have too much talent around, which is a good problem to have, but it's still a problem sometimes. And it's like, how do you spread that out with so many different high profile? Because these are very high profile people in the same roof right now. And it's like, it's interesting.
That's why. My personal opinion, I don't think that you do. I don't think that you do that match at Mania Night One. I think you do it at Chamber, and Cody has a different partner. So I think you messed up by putting Seth in there because Seth's supposed to be defending the title in the Chamber, and maybe Seth loses the title in the Chamber. Maybe he doesn't come out of it as champion, and someone else is going to Mania as the world champ. That could be what happens too. There's a lot of different ways you can go with that to get Seth out of that position and then put that championship on night one below that, which someone's going to be upset about. But I mean, if I'm Seth and I'm still going to be in the main event and I'm going to drop the title, who cares? The title's a prop. All the titles.
What do you think about? So I'm reading this right now. It says the more powerful way would be for The Rock to hold Sikoa and the bloodline back in some way as a signal of his individual power to leave Reigns to be defeated by Rhodes.
Right.
Hurting the champion standing as the head of the family. Oh, he could. I didn't think about it that way. Sowing the seed of doubt and despair in the head of the table?
Right, you're supposed to be the head of the table, but without them, you couldn't get it done. The Rock would have been.
Are we talking about like what is that? A mutiny?
Yeah. Yes.
I like this. I like where that could go. I like that. Because I always thought like from the bloodline to the blood feud would be fire.
Right. And you have to. Like, you've already done it with the brothers, right? But you have to have, there has to be a bigger fracture there somewhere. The rest of it has to explode. It has to in some way. And then you're not even exploding it, right? You're just switching it to now The Rock's the head of the table. Right? So I think, so here's my thought on it. And it's been my thought for a while. I think the end goal, Solo Sikoa is going to be the head of the table. So Solo Sikoa is going to run that family in the future. He's going to be the next big guy to come out of there. He's going to, when Roman's done and Roman moves on and does other things, which we're hearing might happen. I've heard he, rumored innuendo is he wants to get out into Hollywood and go take The Rock's place, apparently, which that'd be dope. Even if it's not forever, you go do that for a little while. This happens, right? They Rock becomes head of the table, and he goes off and takes off and goes and does movies.
Yeah, Rock is an anomaly in that space. Not, it's not that other people didn't do movies. And there were some good movies done by other people, but Rock became box office star And me personally, I don't see that it factor in Roman translating to screen, but that's just me.
Right. I agree with you. I think Roman is just, if you took, what's his name, Jason Momoa and The Rock and mix them, you got Roman.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
You've already been done, bro, twice.
Aquaman's cousin? Like, what's going on? He's Aquaman's cousin? The fuck's going on here? Okay.
Aquaman's cousin.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. See no evil with Kane was fire.
Yeah, I know. There
was a bunch of those. That's what I'm saying. Those were good movies. They're good movies. But then there's Rock was Black Adam. That's a different level of profile.
It was, but he didn't do a good job with the movie.
No, he didn't. I didn't say he did a good job, nigga.
So that's the thing. Listen. I don't think that you can be like, yeah, but he was Black Adam when he wasn't a good, he didn't do a good job of Black Adam. He did a good job of Black Adam.
The point is,
it's more like, yeah, but he's Black Adam.
No. I get that. That's fine.
Then he got
the box office. The box office is fucking hit or miss. It depends on the climate. You know, I actually, me personally, I enjoyed the movie, but I understand people who didn't. You know what I mean? I understand people who didn't, but I enjoyed it. I think what it really was more than him being in the movie was that, first off, he stepped into a space that is very similar as far as the fandom. And yeah. If people don't like something in that space, they're going to let you know. So to step into DC with The Rock's mentality was the wrong approach, in my opinion. I believe he had to step into Black Adam humbly, and he fucked up in a lot of his press conferences and stuff when he had an opportunity to do that. And I think wrestling fans might be surprised to know that, like, anime and fucking DC and Marvel fans will fucking go crazy, guys.
Well, I get that. Like, he's The Rock. He's a wrestler. You have an ego. It comes with being a wrestler. You're going to have an ego. If you're a wrestler, that's who you are. You know what I mean?
Thank you, Nick. Like, the point is that's a huge role.
It's a huge role to have. I understand that completely. I don't think it's a huge accolade when you didn't nail it. If you're like, oh, he was
Black Adam. No, that's fine.
Yeah, nasty. That's fine.
I mean, I could argue and debate that they fucking, like, Marvel killed the Hulk, basically. They killed the whole character for me. So, like, I get it. Like, but that's not the point. The point is that you've built a profile. So, like, you missing the mark can happen.
Now, I hear what you said.
But you to get the ability to even miss the mark, to even be called up, that's a different level of stardom. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about, now here's my problem though, because
he's done some big roles. He's done some roles that you're just like, whoa.
I mean, he's had some amazing movies too. Don't get me twisted. But here's the problem. He's done, I think he did, that's why he's back. He did so much that it became like white noise at some point, and seeing him on screen. He was the same character and every big, big muscle guy, fucking big muscle guy on a boat, big muscle guy chasing a fucking gorilla, big muscle guy in an earthquake. Big muscle guy is a superhero. This nigga literally reached the Mount Olympus. Yeah, this nigga literally reached the Mount Olympus of every role you could play as a big muscle guy. So I'm just trying to figure out where the space is for Roman to what he can't go in and do dramatic acting. Nobody's going to give a fuck. We're going to want to see him in action. So what did The Rock leave on the table for him there when he takes the table back over here?
Maybe he could be a dramatic actor. Maybe we could see Roman go out there and do love stories.
Roman Reigns, Roman's vain. Roman Pains. Roman Sane.
Roman Reigns goes insane.
Welcome to Roman's Lane. Like, what the fuck is going on now? So I would love to see that aspiration complete itself. I just think that Hollywood's in a bad spot, and that's, you know, they got a whole bunch of, like, WWE, in my opinion right now, is in a better spot than Hollywood is. TV shows are fucked right. I mean, if you get a Paramount or a Netflix, for sure, but it's kind of fucked up right now.
It kind of,
the back end of the business is crazy right now.
Well, it's because it's a mess. It's always been a mess, and all this stuff's like starting to come out. People start to talk about how crazy everything is.
Yeah, and like back then, you know, the wrestlers weren't making as much as they are now. And I believe to some degree, like if the wrestlers actually look at the numbers, some of these wrestlers are making way more money than these people walking on red carpets, man.
Yeah, but you're not putting your body at risk as much.
That's true. Correct. Yeah, for sure. Unless you're trying to be Tom Cruise and shit and doing your own stunts with some, I don't know what the fuck's wrong with this guy. Like, it's fucking crazy. It's that Scientology. He's fucked up. But anyway. Right.
Remember jumping up and down on over Winfrey's couch? Come on, man.
Yeah, correct. So,
look that way. People go
understanding Triple H's heart condition. I just can't see him being. I mean, I understand your doctors can clear you, but like for me, I'm like, I don't give a fuck the doctors clear you, bro. You've done what you need to do. But I've seen some room and innuendo out there about how this can turn into, like you said, the factions that can build up to like a possible Rock Triple H match somewhere down the line. I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see it. There's no need for it. Maybe it's like a nostalgia thing. You could do it off. Like
we got to get Xenon, well, anyway, the guest feature, Xenon.
What WrestleMania is this right now? What are we, WrestleMania 40? This is WrestleMania 40. When are you going to do it? It's got to be a big number.
Rock That's Triple what I'm H saying. Is a big
number. You can't just be like, oh, WrestleMania 43, Rock versus Triple H. No, it's got to be 45 or 50. And I don't think you have 5 years to do it in. So I also think
that if you don't want to break Hogan's record, it's not that big of a deal. That's fine. But you can still make it a part of the narrative of the Rock fucking Roman over. Like, damn, you fucked up the belt. Cody got his story. You fucked up my streak. And then I can possibly see a scenario where, if that all plays out a certain way, where The Rock and Roman are the focus for WrestleMania 41.
Right. Yeah. I heard that the new plan is Rock versus Roman at WrestleMania 41.
Okay. See, I'll take it.
I read something about that. And I can see that happen. It would make sense. Do you play the whole bloodline head of the table out until then? Because that'd be interesting.
That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of dynamics. You can spend the next year just building your ranks between those factions, having deceptions between it. Maybe Jimmy joined. Maybe Jimmy stayed. I mean, which one is it? The one that's not with it? Is Jimmy, right?
Jay is not Jay with
left.
Them, right?
Yeah, Jay left. So maybe Jay's like, I'm staying gone, and I'm going with the white boys. Who knows? All of that, to me, creates like this, like, I hate to say it, but it's like almost like some, like, Shakespearean, Jerry Springer, Maury Povich, WWE gumbo that just sounds like money bags to me.
Yeah, no, I think that would be great. You get Jay to go with Triple H, and then you got The Rock, who's probably going to either have The Rock himself. I feel The Rock himself right now. So you get The Rock, you got Roman, and then you got Jay, and that's a great place for Jay to be in, because Jay, I think, has been the guy out of the brothers that they wanted to give the big boost to. So I can see that too. Like I said, I personally think Solo Sikoa is going to be the guy down the road, and that's the end game.
Yeah.
I don't know when that's going to be, because this bloodline story, like every time you talk to them about the story, everyone's like, yeah, we're still like in the first quarter. And you're like, what? Like, this story's been going on for 2 years already. What do you mean you're still in the first quarter? Like, yeah, we're in the first quarter of this thing. There's a lot to go. There's a lot of story with this.
Yeah. I mean, because there's so much history and present that you can milk this shit for a while.
You can do this. Is a decade. You can make this a decade-long story.
I know. That's the tough part. That's even the tough longer, part, though.
If you do it well, right, there's so many pieces that come off of it, and there's always going to be more. That family's not going to all of a sudden just stop being involved in wrestling. They've been in wrestling. Like, if you watch the kickoff show, they had a whole thing of family.
Yeah.
Like that, come on. That family.
How do you pronounce the family name? It's how do you pronounce it?
Anoa'i.
Anoa'i. Okay, I was saying Anoa'i. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, they've all been in it. So it's. And it's guys that you look at and you're like, oh, that guy? Like, some people didn't know Yokozuna was in that family.
I mean, it's crazy when you actually look into it. Hold on, let me pull this up real quick so I can show you guys this crazy picture of like everybody. It's so crazy. So I saw somebody, because I was laughing at a meme I saw the other day when it was talking about like, it's basically, you know, it's not WWE anymore. It's the Noai family, basically. Like, they've taken over.
Right. Well, but they're everywhere, too. There's still other ones that are in. One of them, I think, Lance, I think, signed with AEW, or he's with AEW. Jacob Fatu is with MLW. You got to look up Jacob Fatu afterwards. Just see who he is. He's a big dude. He's like a super vicious Rikishi. If Rikishi was just a savage.
Rikishi is the savage with the stinky face on deck always.
Fair enough. But that's the move that I don't want is the stink face.
That's all. Like, out of every move I've ever seen, the stinky face is the one where I'm like, stinky face and gold dust, man. Them two moves, I'm straight, bro. You can keep both them shits. Yeah, check out this fucking family. Like, this is crazy. Like, it's so crazy to see the legacy build out the way it is. But to see it in, like, totality, to see them all together is just, like, wild.
And that's not even all of them.
Correct.
Google the picture from WrestleMania kickoff, NOI family tree. And it's got the Rock's, like, standing in front of it. It looks like the tree of life. And there's got to be, like, 40 names on that thing. It's nuts. Like, everybody in the family.
Like, damn, y'all got... Oh, wow. This is crazy.
Did you find it? The one, like, it's actually a tree.
It's not the Rock standing in the middle. Hold on. I'm looking for the exact one. I'll find it in a second. But again, the other ones that I'm seeing right here that just have, like, the family tree graphs are, like, just crazy. It's like 40 fucking people here.
Yeah.
This is crazy. This is crazy. I don't see the that particular one, but I definitely see a bunch of different ones here. It looks absolutely insane. Like I said, it's like, yeah, send it to me. But while you're looking at that, let's talk about this one that you sent me. What is going on? Because, you know, we were talking about the Cody situation. Well, what does this mean? What is going on here? What is going on here, my resident expert?
All right. So this is funny because Sports Keita reported this, right, as real news, which is funny. Sources is backstage is saying that Adam Copeland and Eddie Kingston have been rubbing talent the wrong way, often speaking out of line. One reliable source added, I'd stay in my own lane if I were them. So if you don't know who Brandon Cutler is, Brandon Cutler,
your volume, there you go.
Right? Brandon Cutler is a wrestler signed to AEW, and he is aligned with the Elite, the Young Bucks, who are the EVPs of that company in real life, and they're leaning into that role and playing the evil EVPs right now, right? So this is him. Like, if you watch their show, the Young Bucks have a YouTube show that's called Being the Elite. I don't like it. Surprise! I don't like Being the Elite. But anyway, because it's not a wrestling show. It's just some stupid, like, I feel like it's Three's Company for wrestling. I can't stand it. So, like, one person wrestles everyone. Well, it's just that family. Like, that family is specifically has been embedded in wrestling. It's the Samoans from back in the day, and they were always super close with Vince. So whenever Vince needed them, they were there for him. So Vince kind of just took that family and it was like, you're a part of this. You're part of my family. You're part of this. And they've always been treated like family by the McMahons. And like, they're like that one family that you got a job here. You want to wrestle, you're going to be able to wrestle.
I hope nobody had to get shit on for that.
Yeah, you just threw me up. What was I saying right before all that shit now? Threw me off of that.
Now, we were just talking about the rumor mill with Sports Keita and how they put up a false story.
So Brandon Cutler holds the camera while they're recording Being the Elite. Being the Elite is like a reality TV show of the Young Bucks backstage. It's staged and set up and everything, you know what I mean? But it's them backstage, and Brandon Cutler's the cameraman on it. So he's reporting something for the Young Bucks, saying something that the reliable source was probably one of the Young Bucks. It's not really going on in the locker room, but Sports Keita reported it like it was a real story. I don't know if anybody else did. I was looking for Ringside News because they tend to be a horrible dirt rag that reports stuff that's not true all the time.
Yeah, it's funny because I've been going to Sports Keto for like, you know, catching up and stuff like that. But I was talking to you earlier where I just feel like a lot of these news media outlets are thirsting to be first so bad that they're just like jumping on whatever gets out there. But they should do their due diligence and vet it. But sometimes you don't have time because like while you're trying to vet it, somebody else reported it. Now you lost being first. So it's a messy game.
If you're reporting on wrestling, you should know wrestling. So you should know that Brandon Cutler is a character and what his position is. If you don't know that, how are you reporting on wrestling? You don't know anything about it. That's like me going out and reporting on vegan farming. I don't know anything about vegan farming.
Yeah. Sometimes I wonder, I don't know. I'm to the point where I've seen every kind of marketing strategy you can think of. And sometimes I just think, sometimes people throw shit out there. I'm not saying that this is the case here, but sometimes people throw shit out there just to get people talking shit. Like, you don't know shit about wrestling, But they'll still go back another time when they get over it and look at another story. So I don't know. I feel like everybody's trying to find their way into this cycle of what's going on.
Yeah, like everyone always goes back to these sites. Like I can't stand Ringside News, but I use them all the time to like find stuff because you get some good rumor and innuendo. Sometimes it's not true. Sometimes it is. But it's always a good read to get something to check out. So I go to some of these sites that I don't really care for. But I feel like stuff like that, I get some information and run with it quick. But this isn't that. This is a guy who's clearly a character whose gimmick is that he's with the Young Bucks, and the Young Bucks are running a gimmick where they're the evil VPs. They just attacked Sting and Darby Allin when they won the tag titles, and now they're going to get a shot to become the number one contenders, and they have a match against them, and they're going to make that for the titles and retire Sting and take the titles and be the evil VPs taking the tag titles, and they run the show, and now they got the belts. So knowing that and then reporting that Brandon Cutler, you don't know wrestling. Whoever reported that, you don't know wrestling and you shouldn't be reporting in wrestling. I feel like it, but it's too damn bad. Go watch some wrestling and maybe you'd know.
Correct. I mean, shit, I told you, I'm still catching up. So
only report on the shit you know. Don't report shit that you have no idea what you're talking about, I guess.
So since you are the resident expert, please explain to me how AEW is getting smoked by midget wrestling. What the fuck is going on out here?
Yo, I mean, it's a midget wrestling, bro. Well, let me say this. I don't always defend AEW, but I'm going to defend AEW. Because, yes, it's really funny. It's really funny that they're getting smoked by this, but it is Rampage. Rampage is like the C show. Like Rampage was supposed to be the secondary show, but it's not. Like no one really cares about Rampage. It comes on Friday night at 10 o'clock. No one's staying home.
No one's home. Yeah.
Rampage. I mean, I guess a lot of wrestling fans live in their mom's basement. They don't really go out and have life like that. So maybe there are people, but no one's watching it. No one watches Rampage. No one cares about it. The matches are always, you can look at it and know who's going to win.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
So you watched wrestling back in the day, right?
Yes.
You remember Sunday Night Heat?
Yes, absolutely.
It was like Sunday Night Heat. Like gotcha. You only watched it before the pay-per-view because it like gave you, it would like lead right into the pay-per-view because it would come on right before. And you're like, oh, cool, the pre-show before the pay-per-view was Heat. Other than that, you don't watch Heat. Once in a while, there'd be a match that they tell you was going to be on. They're like, oh, okay, I'll go check that match out. But you didn't care. Like, no one watched that damn show. That's real.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what were the numbers on it? I want to say it was like 300,000, maybe.
I don't know. I just know they got smoked.
They did get smoked, though. I just sent you that bloodline.
They got smoked. Oh, okay, let me grab it real quick.
I had the numbers because I sent that in the group over there. It was. So here was the ratings for it. And here's the thing. It's not once. It's not twice. This was five times in a row. 5 weeks in a row. Big Little Brawlers. That's the midget show we're talking about. It's that TV show about midget wrestlers. Big Little Brawlers got 359,000 viewers. and Rampage got 314,000. So five weeks in a row, Brawlers. Rampage got beat by Big Little Brawlers. That being said, there's going to be wrestling here in New Bedford, and we might be there. So
yes,
look up.
Let me pull this picture up that you just gave. Hold on. Let's show these people the massive bloodline that is taking place here, because this is out of control. Look at this freaking family tree, guys.
Wild.
This is insane.
Like that's all of them. And you know, half of the family was started. It was a blood pack that started.
Yes, yep.
Family like became a family, and then like they just branched off, and you know, it's wild.
You talk about a successful family. There you got it, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't think I'd see nothing crazy than the Wayne's family. That's crazy.
Right. All in wrestling. Oh, that's wild. Imagine that. Like, hey, what'd your dad do? He's a wrestler. How about your dad's dad? A wrestler. Your dad's dad? A wrestler. Like five generations right there. That's wild. But and they're gonna stay around forever. That family's always gonna be around. Especially now that Rock is there like that. He just put that family in a position to be in wrestling, in WWE specifically, for another 50 years.
Yeah, correct. Especially when you just open the door to the bloodline and people being able to exit owning their names is fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love that level of savvy business. So it's crazy. Because now it makes me wonder, like, how many more people do you think will actually vie for trying to get their name? Because not everybody has that leverage.
Nobody. No one's going to be able to do that. I'm telling you, part of this whole thing was just because they knew it was going down. They had to do something. Like, listen, Rock, come back here. You won't have to do anything. Now you own that football company. You've got part of that company. You'll be on the board here. You're going to make way more money than you make in Hollywood, and we'll let you own the name Rock. So if there's something that you're like, oh, I could have made this much doing this movie, you can own the name Rock. Anything you do, anything that's Rock, you'll make money off of. And he was like, oh, okay. So I'm not going to do shit. Cool. If I want to wrestle, I'll wrestle. Cool. And I'll make more money than I was in Hollywood. Yep.
Yeah, so how do you feel about the idea? Because remember I talked about this before of like, I think The Rock is, regardless of how this plays out, I still feel like he's going to go into like his Hollywood Hulk Hogan era, if you will, and like super heal it out at some point.
Yep.
What do you think about that?
That The Rock is going to do that?
Yeah.
He could. That could be who knows? Who knows how the Bloodline story ends up turning out? It could end up.
That's what I mean, because it's like, there's so much there, but I feel like it needs, there has to be, you know, in every good story, every good family story, there has to be a Judas in there somewhere. There has to be someone who's like, shakes the shit up. And if you do want to usher in Sokoa in the way you want to, I think that can happen if you heal him out, get him in his Hollywood Hogan era bag, and then make Sokoa be the hero that comes out of it, prevails out of it in the long term after Roman and stuff.
See, I think you do it differently. I think you do Rock's Hollywood era in a managerial role. Mm-hmm. And he does that Hollywood era when he hands it to Solo. Because he doesn't need to wrestle. Like, you know who he is? He's the head of the table. He runs things. And he's going to have Solo take care of everything. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's for Solo. And then maybe at the end of it, Solo ends up becoming the face out of it. But the whole push is going to be Rock's not wrestling. Solo wrestles. And it's great because then that's your way to get Rock, to keep Rock around longer, not having to wrestle all the time. You're going to have Rock wrestle four times a year at the big four event.
Yeah.
Rock
wrestles
at Rumble, Rock wrestles at Mania, Rock wrestles at SummerSlam, Rock wrestles at Survivor Series. And Survivor Series is usually the way that I would do Survivor Series for him every year would be a 5-man elimination, him and four members from the Bloodline against five other people.
So did you see this little like elimination chamber preview thing that had popped up on WWE for a second that people were talking about? So basically it listed the entrance of the women's chamber match in Australia as Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Jay Cargill, Naomi, and Tiffany Stratton. What was your thoughts on that?
I don't know if it's real.
Because they said it was briefly posted on WWE.com, but then it was pulled. So do you think that was a mistake or?
Well, so here's the thing. We'll find out on Friday. Because the chamber qualifiers haven't been completed yet. Two of the women named in that haven't had their match yet to be in.
Okay.
Tiffany
okay.
Stratton has a match on Friday, and I think Naomi has a match on. No, she might have had her match already. Someone there's two matches on Friday to determine the final two spots on SmackDown, and two of those names were in that. So
did you see the daily update that says Meltzer reported that Rocky Romero is now part of the AEW front office?
No, but I would expect that.
It looks like, yeah, Fightful's Sean Ross Sapp confirmed that report as well. So that's interesting. What do you think about that move?
Yeah, Rocky Romero is kind of a bum. He's a guy that goes... if Rocky Romero's in a match, I know he's... I'm just saying.
Yeah, he's just so nonchalant. He's like, he's kind of a bum.
He doesn't do a lot of singles matches. He's usually in tag matches, a lot of them in Japan. And here's what I'll tell you about Rocky Romero. If Rocky Romero is in a match, I know who's eating the pin. It's Rocky Romero. It's going to happen. This is how it's going to work.
Oh, man.
I do a bunch of prediction wrestling leagues. And the one I always get right is Rocky Romero gets pinned. I'm just saying.
If there was one person that I think somehow could eventually leverage getting their name, and I know you think it's not, you know, plausible, da 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 da, but I think if they ever hit that fork in the road again and they need somebody, you don't think The Undertaker is somebody who can get his name?
Maybe. Maybe. But they need it, but like, why?
I just think somewhere down the line, as we develop more things, more storylines, I could see in the executive, because like if you're creating this kind of nostalgic thing where you have like all these high profile managers that have these teams, the Triple H and thing will carry for so long. But I know when there was like three or four of them is when it was at its best for me personally. So I can see room for maybe two more of those factions, because the one-on-one thing will get to, I mean, I know they got a nice roster on each side. That's great. But then having two more for people to mix and mingle, leave, go over here, come back over here. I could see The Undertaker being a third or just take that off the table. I just think that The Undertaker is someone who is alive, savvy enough still of sound mind and body to come in and add some value and has good relationships, as far as I know, with Triple H and The Rock, because they would need to bring somebody in with the profile and the know-how, I think.
I guess, I mean, well, it depends on what you're doing, right? Because you can bring somebody in that's just, you don't have to be in that front office position that's pulling any strings. You could just be a character, right? So you could bring in a guy that just has the profile to be in that position. By the way, if you're going to bring in a guy that had both, I would say Mick Foley before The Undertaker.
Okay.
And you're not going to, that's the thing. You're not going to let him own his name because there's three of them.
Way too much going on with Foley. Yeah. I mean, Foley is
the guy to come in that you bring in as a manager to be like the next like Paul Heyman type manager, and like he's hardcore.
Has anyone committed more of their body to this profession than Nick Foley?
He lost his ear, man. I don't think so.
I mean, when you talk about like being fucking committed. I can never question, I don't think anybody can ever question Nick Foley, Mankind, this beast of, I mean, there were matches that I was watching and I said, how is this legal? Like, how is this happening?
Yeah. He's a nut. That dude was just always wild. When you go back and watch him, you watched him as Mankind. I watched him before that in WCW and ECW is Cactus Jack.
No, me too. Cactus Jack
was nuts. Like anybody, like if you know Mankind and you've seen Cat, I know Cactus Jack because I saw him in WWE. Nah, no, Cactus Jack in WWE was a PG version of Cactus Jack. Because Cactus Jack was nuts. That dude used to just take straight chair shots right to the head without, like most people put their hand up and block it last second. Not Mick. He's just like, bam, hit me in the head.
Yeah.
That dude was a maniac. So much blood and.
I just think that there's so much fire stuff going on, and I'm kind of excited for the possibility of certain people to come back into play. I think that's really what it is for me, is like, I don't care what capacity. I don't care if they come back as trainers. I don't care if they – I just think that the vet – I always love seeing vets that have now gotten to a space where they're comfortable enough because leadership got the fuck out the way to allow them to develop the sport they love. And not everybody's built for that role, but because you have Triple H at the helm, it's not always good to have a person that has done the sport, run the sport. But I think in the WWE's sense, especially when you're bringing on, you have so much new talent. And if you want to keep that product high, they're going to need a master of the cell to come in so they don't have to do what they did with, oh, shit, I didn't even think of that.
Stone Cold, man. That's the guy you bring in. If you have Stone Cold have his own faction, and The Rock has his own faction, and Triple H has his own faction.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Holy shit.
The fucking 316 faction would be nuts.
That'll put asses in seats. For sure.
Holy shit.
For sure. And then do the Mick Foley thing. There's your four factions, dude.
Holy shit. That would be insane.
Just a guy.
Stone Cold coming back in any capacity would break the internet.
And there's been talks of it a bunch of times. Rumored innuendo is that he's talking about he could do a match with Punk.
I love it. I love that. I love that. Because and the reason why I feel like it's possible, again, is because Vince is out the way. You can just tell from the conversation and dialogue that I've been seeing, like, just on X, Twitter, whatever the fuck you call it now. Just some of the correspondence I've been seeing back and forth between wrestlers, because I've been trying to follow lately, new, old, whatever, that there really is an energy behind the scenes that is very, very happy with Triple H's leadership so far.
Oh, yeah. People love it. People loved it when he was in charge. In NXT, and he brought over a lot of guys. A lot of the guys right now that are on the main roster that didn't come up through the regular system, right? Are like your Sami Zayn's, your Kevin Owens, guys like that. They came up through NXT when they came over to NXT. Finn Balor, those guys came there when Triple H was like doing his thing, and they wanted to be there with him, and he was doing a good thing. And now that he's in charge of everything, it's great because you don't have to worry about a thing that was happening was people would be amazing in NXT and have a great NXT run, then go to the WWE, get called up to the WWE, and Vince would fuck him up because he's got some stupid ass story that he wants to do with him that makes no sense.
Speaking of NXT, what do you think the ceiling is for Carmelo Hayes? Because I kind of like this kid.
Melo's like he's going to be one of the next big things. I see that kid going really far. He's future world championship material. That guy's got like rock-like charisma. He's a Northeast guy too. He came up through the wrestling system out here.
I think to go back to Missile talking. From what I've seen, The Rock has always stayed in decent shape. I'm sorry, The Rock. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. I'm tired. Stone Cold. I've seen him always stay in decent shape. What do you
think? I don't think he'd come back and wrestle. Maybe one match, but I don't think he'd come back and wrestle. He had neck surgery. He had his neck fused and shit. I think
him and CM Punk could get that one off, and then like he goes back to the office.
Maybe.
That fused neck is crazy, though.
Right. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't want to do it. I'd be like, nah, I'm good. You guys do your thing. I'm all set.
Yeah, because we got tonight, we have Carmelo Hayes versus Joe Gacy.
Yep.
So that's supposed to be going on tonight. And then what else interesting is happening on NXT tonight?
What is going on tonight for NXT? Let me tell you.
Oh, the NXT Tag Team Championship's going down.
Oh yeah, yeah. That match after the War Dogs won the Dusty Rhodes Classic, and now they get the tag title shots. They're gonna lose.
You think Carmelo's gonna win tonight?
Yeah, Carmelo will beat Joe Gacy. There's no need for him for that. I got two things I want to mention, like outside of NXT. Matt Riddle is confirming that he's been talking with TNA Wrestling. So that'd be kind of cool to see Matt Riddle go to TNA. I think he could thrive in that company. I think if he goes there, that's a place that Matt Riddle could become the world champion and they could throw that company in.
That's very interesting.
Good for that company. Like, I think for him, better fit than AEW. They're going to be more lackadaisic with him. They're going to let him do his thing. Riddle's like, I don't know if you know much about Matt Riddle.
Not a lot.
So he was a UFC fighter. And he had to leave UFC because he failed too many drug tests smoking weed. So
okay. This literally just dropped 2 hours ago. So WWE, and this is on Fan Nation on Sports Illustrated. So this is Sports Illustrated, people. Stone Cold Steve Austin drops massive tease on marquee wrestling match. Stone Cold keeps WWE fans on their toes. Could we be seeing Stone Cold Steve Austin back in the ring? The end of the night one of WrestleMania 30 saw Steve Austin emerge victorious over Kevin Owens. Man, that was a beast too. Kevin Owens was a beast too. Fans were stunned, blah, 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 blah. Let's see. During an interview on ESPN, Stone Cold Steve expressed his beliefs that he can top his most recent performance if he has to. So very cryptic. I dissected what I did, and I know what I can improve on, and I know what I can do more of. I said I'd never go in the ring again unless the stars align, Austin said. And for the same reason, somehow, they all did at the age of 57. I headlined the first night of WrestleMania. I never thought I'd do that. If you have told me that when I retired in 2003, I've said, you're crazy. So I'm not going to sit here and say no to anything because you never say never in this crazy business sports entertainment. See, my problem is, right, fuck y'all, okay? And let me tell you why. Because that whole never say never shit really means it's possible. Fuck right. That never say never. No, take it further. It means it's probable. It means it's just in contract and negotiation at this point.
Right. Right.
Well played. But motherfucker, we too savvy to be playing them games. We know what that means. So as we were just talking about this, it's funny. I was searching it and here we are. And hold on. Of course, Stone Cold's name's his best mentioned constantly. Ever since CM Punk made his return to WWE. While Punk will be out of action for a while due to a torn tricep injury, Stone Cold Steve Austin isn't ruling out the dance with the secondary city saint. Interesting.
Yeah, that's
here's his quote. He said, I like Punk, and Punk likes me. So as long as he can take a Stone Cold stunner, Austin said with a laugh, I would consider him a great friend and a great guy and a great wrestler who's had a great career. We'll see. Interesting. Imagine. All right, now we're really gonna fuck around because this is interesting. I love this shit. Okay, so Stone Cold gets in a negotiation. That negotiation is wrapped up by time CM Punk is recovered, right? And then we can be looking at a situation where, again, Stone Cold does that heyday match where he's already talking about he can top what he did. Let's just start there. Let's be realistic. Can he top what he did at this point?
No, right? No.
But, so if you know that and I know that, then that tells me he's selling.
Right.
That tells me all I need to know. If you're already selling it.
You're selling it. Yeah.
Then it's just money and negotiation now. I'm fucking excited. yo, just imagine, like, living in this era, to have a show that comes on that will have Triple H there, forget any capacity, the nostalgia effect that it hit people, The Rock there, forget any capacity, and then Stone Cold cracking a couple of beers and Nick Foley fucking yelling, like, this, I love it. I think the best thing that happened to the WWE, unfortunately, is getting Vince to get the fuck out the way.
I thought you were going to say that girl getting shit on.
That was my roundabout way of saying it, Sean. You saw me think about it. I almost said it. I said, what would Sean say? Don't say that shit. Don't say that shit.
When it comes down to it, the best thing was that girl getting shit on. Like, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for taking a shitty situation for the team, baby, because we are in a new...
Seriously. I mean, that woman going to the Hall of Fame.
yeah, she definitely has a first ballot right there. First ballot. First toilet Hall of Fame right there, for sure. That's just crazy, bro.
We're going to make a Smart Spot Monkeys and Super Kicks Hall of Fame, but she's going in the Hall of Fame.
No, for sure. Mitchell, I agree with you. Like, it was time for Vince. It's been time, guys. His family knew it been time. And that's what really, like, again, like, between Mysterio just beating up anybody and everybody, which was unrealistic to me on every level, and then Vince just being Vince, it just got sour for me at some point. I didn't feel attached to it. I didn't feel like it's – and I didn't feel the feed, you know – and I think that we can appreciate this as older wrestling fans, right? Whereas, like, the kids that are kind of born into it now, I don't think that they necessarily are in the window where they can see past the performance and know if the people in the ring that they like actually still love what they're doing.
Right.
At some point, it felt like a very intensive job with high risk and injury and very little reward, with a lot of scrutiny and dictatorship from Vince. And forget the wrestlers. I saw it through his own kids, kids. So I said, there's something wrong here.
I think a big thing was the Monday Night Wars and what happened with the Monday Night Wars, right? So the Monday Night Wars were incredible. And it was the greatest time in wrestling because everybody was so invested in it. Not only the fans, but the wrestlers too, because you didn't know what was going to happen. Like, you had these two billionaires that were just throwing money around, trying to sign everyone. And there were no contracts that had non-competes. Like, now there's like 90-day non-competes. There were no non-competes. So you get fired or your contract's up. You show up on the next show the next week. And WCW fires you. You're on Raw on Monday. But Raw fires you. You're on... Hell, they had one time where Raw was recorded, right? And Rick Rude was on Raw. Well... his contract had ended on Sunday. He had already signed a deal with WCW. And WCW, knowing that WWE was running a pre-recorded show, decided to have Rick Rude show up live on fucking Nitro when he was on the other channel. I'm like, whoa, well, that's recorded.
Wow.
Yeah, that whole thing was crazy. So everyone was so, like, invested into it then. So you knew the people, like, loved what they were doing and, like, they were involved in it. And it's just different now. And I think as great as the Monday Night Wars were, the end of the Monday Night Wars was a bad thing for wrestling. Because that's what it, like, I kind of fell off a little bit. That was probably my second time falling off, because I fell off right before the Monday Night Wars and got dragged back in right when it was happening. And then I fell off a little bit after that, because it was just, there's no competition. Competition breeds greatness. It is what it is, right?
Yeah. I guess, again, my concern just comes back to, there is so much talent right now. And it's like, at some point, I could just see talent losing its patience for not being, because again, these are big personalities coming back. The Rock coming back is great for the Bloodline, for Cody, for Roman, for all of those dynamics, CM Punk, Seth Rollins. That's great for that. But then, like, for guys that's, like, on the come up, like, that are trying to breach that ceiling into that space, like, what does the next year look like for, like, let's say, Carmelo Hayes that's trying to find his way? Like, what does it look like for R-Truth, who has instant value on anything he's on?
So I think guys like that, you're never going to see him. Well, Carmelo Hayes, you will see world title reigns, but he's got to work his way up there. I like the next year for him when he comes up, I could see him going for the U.S. championship or the Intercontinental championship and getting involved in that. Gunther's going to lose that title soon. I don't know if it'll be at Mania or not. Because he doesn't have to hold it any longer. He's done his thing. He's the longest reigning Intercontinental champion of all time. So its purpose has been done, and there's no need to have him hold it longer. No one's going to break that record for a long time. So,
I want to see if you agree with this list. You probably already seen it, but let me just throw it up here real quick and see if you agree with this list. Where did that picture go? Of course, it's taking forever to download. Give me 1 second. Let me pull it up.
Why are you doing that? I'm going to tell you this. Did you hear that? Tony Khan might have been listening to us. Because in one of the least coked out things that Tony Khan has done, he said this. I cannot comment on the terrible allegations against WWE right now. That's something people are paying a lot of attention to right now with good reason. For us, first and foremost, trying to create a safe locker room environment for everybody, women and men, and we have a really good bond. I think we have a great locker room, and everyone knows there's a support system there. There are a lot of channels, and I think everyone feels very good about having a safe place and safe workspace, and there are people you can talk to. There are people in the office, but even on the wrestling side. For us, I think that's the most important thing. In any office, in any workplace, is just having a lot of people that will listen and will want to make the company a safe and good place to work. So Tony Khan, the guy who he has shit to say about everything. This guy just keeps coming out with another announcement about finally, he was like, oh, like Vince shit on a girl? Now I'm good. I got nothing.
Yeah. He's like, nope, we're good. How do y'all feel? Okay, so I'm sure you've seen this list of 2023. How do you feel about this list? And what do you think is going to change for the list in 2024?
I don't agree with this list.
Give me your top 10.
So I'm just going to go with this. If you were to take this top 10, I'm going to deal with this top 10 first. So I like 1, 2, and 3, I guess. I don't know if I feel that they're in that specific order. I think MJF was more successful than all of them. MJF was probably 1. Cody 2, Rhea Ripley 3. I mean, MJF was the world champion. He had like a super long streak. He was world champion and Ring of Honor tag team champion at the same time. Like, yeah, really big story. He was like the face of everything going on for a long time with that company. And he still is. So I would put MJF over 1 and 2 and then drop them down. Number 4 out of that list, that'd be Gunther. Gunther, Trinity, get the fuck out of here. Get out of here. Yes, I get it. She came back. She won the Impact Women's Championship. It's Impact Wrestling. Nobody gives a shit. That does not make you number 4. Like, maybe she might make the list. Maybe 5. I think Will Ospreay and Seth Rollins are good at 5 and 6. I can go with that. Naito at 7, I could probably go with. Swerve at 8, I could go with. And if you got to keep this 10, 9 and 10, 9 is Trinity and 10 would be Becky. I would say if that's your list. I would have to do too much thinking to really break into that. Let me see if I have them. So I'm gonna look at this. I'm gonna look at my Smarkies, right? See what I have for my my nominees, and I'll tell you if I have those women and men on my Wrestlers of the Year. Match of the Year. Did I not finish it? I got Female of the Year and Male of the Year. So Female of the Year. No, I don't have. So I don't have Trinity or Becky up for Women of the Year. So okay. If you want to put a woman in there, Io Sky, I'd put her above her. I'd put Julia from Stardom ahead of her. I'd put Sheeta ahead of her. And I'd put Tiff Stratton ahead of both of those women last year. You know, those are all, those are my nominees for female superstar of the year for the Smarkies. For men, I've got Gunther, Cody, Seth, MJF, Will Ospreay, Samoa Joe. So, if you were going to replace someone out of there, it'd be Naito, and I'd put in Samoa Joe. And then I'd probably, as much as I said, I like Naito and then Swerve, I think Swerve had an amazing 2023. And he like really built his name after getting fired from WWE. So I'd probably keep him on there and drop Naito off and replace him with Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe was a TV champion in Ring of Honor and just ran with that title until he dropped it. He gave it up because he decided he wanted to go for the AEW World Championship. So he gave up the TV championship. He never actually lost that title.
Yeah, I was looking at that list and I was like, this is, for some reason, I know that this is not Sean's list. So I said it to say, because, like, you know, we're going to be having the Smarkies coming up soon, man. We're going to be doing some cool things. Talk to some of the team members here, get them a part of that stream. We'll do it virtually so we can have people come in and pop up on the screen and give the awards and stuff like that. But, like, I can't wait for the Smarkies. We've been pushing it off as long as we can because the news cycle's been crazy. But now it's Smarky time. So we're going to get that rocking soon.
Yeah, we got to get that going. I think it's going to be great to do it live. We'll do it just like this. And I'll tell you what, here's what we have for categories, because I went through them, got rid of a couple of them, kind of, because I didn't want to have it too long and too many awards. I've had a shit ton of them. So we have match of the year, worst match of the year, markout moment of the year. That's that. If you don't know what that is, that's that moment where you were just like a little kid and you're just like, oh my God! That's the markout moment, the moment that you just... The botch of the year. I have the biggest botch of the year. That's actually a category. Spot monkey of the year, male and female superstar of the year, best tag team of the year, worst tag team of the year, worst entrance, worst gimmick, best storyline, worst storyline, worst male and worst female, the indie wrestler of the year, the best return and the worst return, the most overrated and the most underrated, the most improved, and the least improved, otherwise known as the most disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to break it down in like IWC. We're going to have the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we're going to throw them all out there. So some people will be excited. Some people will not. I'd love to actually get people to accept awards, but I don't know if like the most disappointing of the year would actually want to accept an award from us. But.
I mean, some people wear that shit like a badge of honor, so you know it happens.
You're right. If you're that big of a heel, you're gonna lean into it. If you're the Rock,
like, I was the heel of the year, bro. You guys hated me. Yes.
Well, no.
All right. So
when you say work, it doesn't mean the best heel of the year. It means like we really hated you. It doesn't. Mean
I know exactly. Heel. Don't get it twisted.
Go home. That means we didn't even want to see your face. It'll work. Just like nominees, I'm going to give you nominees for the worst. Let's see, give me one. Worst tag team: the Hardy Boys, the Young Bucks, Hit Row, Becky and Lita, and the Viking Raiders.
Those are the worst tag team. He's shooting. Watch out, guys. He's shooting. Clear the room.
The nominees for best tag team were FTR, Aussie Open, Bishamon, ABC, Judgment Day, and The Acclaimed. So there's your best and your worst nominees. That's a little sneak peek. You tune in live to the Smarkies to find out who won.
It's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy, guys. Yeah, so that's all I got for everybody today. What else you got for us, brother? Because that was, look, he said, worst tag team. The disrespect is crazy.
Not the Hardy Boys. I didn't say the Hardy Boys. Oh, yeah, the Hardy Boys. Yeah, the Hardy Boys were horrible this year. Did you watch them this year? Did you watch them in 2023? No, this isn't all-time. This isn't like your all-time worst. This is worst tag team in 2023. Yeah, just 2023. Yeah. So, like, don't think of it outside of that.
So that might answer his other question of why you didn't have What was it? He said, why wasn't Roman on that 2023 list?
Because that was just tag teams.
No, no, no. When we looked at that 2023 top 10 list, he had a comment earlier saying, why isn't Roman on that list? He understands that he's overhyped, but why wasn't he on the list?
I don't have Roman on my list of male wrestler of the year. He didn't, like, how much did he do? He was a part-time wrestler. He didn't wrestle a lot in 2023. Look at the numbers of how many times he wrestled. He did less and less, and the story was getting older and older and staler, and it's all the other pieces that are making the bloodline story so intriguing. It's not Roman anymore. People are over Roman. That's why people want Cody to finish the story, because they just want him to drop the title.
Yeah, I wouldn't watch the bunch of, again, this is going to sound like blasphemy to the wrestling community. I wouldn't watch the bunch of stuff that I could on Roman, and I just don't, like, I miss the ones that really know how to talk. Like the ones that know how to talk. You know what I'm saying? And I just don't see a lot of that now. Like, I see, like, great moves. I see great presentation. But that gift of gab, man, that gift of gab. Like, that's my problem with Cody. When I hear Cody talk, it doesn't make me resonate. He just looks like Homelander, but he doesn't talk like Homelander. So it doesn't work for me, son.
That lisp. I cannot get over his lisp. He doesn't do it like his dad, because Dusty had the list, but he know how to do it. He's like, punk, hey, let me tell you something.
Yeah, yeah. He played it on it.
Dusty Rhodes, baby.
So there hasn't been like a lot of, and it's funny because, like, actually, that's why I like the girls, because the girls, like, let me pull a Sean line. This might sound sexist, but girls, when it comes to the vernacular part of putting something, a show on, like, I feel like, I mean, you've been in relationships, like, they know how to put it on. So sometimes when I'm listening to the girls talk on the wrestling side, man, they got that gift of gab. They're just picking up the other skills along the way, which they've definitely filled that gap over time. But some of these guys, man, when I'm listening to them talk, I'm like, guys, sell it to me. Come on, get me going. And I realized that I watched Roman as the weight loss started, as he went through the health concerns. And I'm in agreement with you that something had to change. And you are really making me rethink the Hogan record, because it's just it doesn't really matter. But then just on top of that, too, it's like, you know, you do at some point when you're looking at when somebody is a shell of themselves, no matter how much we try to package it up, they're still a shell of themselves. This is how I feel kind of about, I know, guys, don't go crazy, but this is how I feel about CM Punk. I feel like he's at the point where his body is a shell of itself. So we can still enjoy him for the nostalgia and the fun and the name. But come on, guys, we're not going to get serious. Like, come on, let's be serious here.
Other places. See, these wrestlers have to learn. And here's the thing. Look at the era that they came from. And maybe not so much that era of the Attitude Era, but prior to that, right? You had a lot of great managers. There was a Dr. Style
Smith. Yes.
Bobby the Brain Heenan. There was Classy Freddie Blassie. There was Johnny V, the Monk of the South, Jimmy Hart. Like, so think about this. You didn't have to be a great wrestler and a great talker. You just had to be a great wrestler. If you could go out there and you could put on a good show, okay, you're going to be a Bobby Heenan. Okay, you're going to be a Jimmy Hart. You're going to be a Slip. You're going to be a Teddy Long. We had all these different managers that could come in and manage you. Sherry Martel managed a lot of wrestlers. You know what I mean? Like, so there's always that opportunity. And I feel like with Triple H in charge, it's a great time to bring the great talkers of the Attitude Era and his mouthpieces for people. Start using the ones that are still alive. I know we lost a lot of them.
Yes.
Start using the ones that are alive and bring them in and say, hey, we want to come in and be a manager. And I get not everybody can do it. And AEW is living proof of that. Because they've done it with a lot of people that they tried to bring in. They brought in Tully Blanchard. Yeah. Didn't really do it. Arn Anderson. Yeah. It's been kind of eh. Jake the Snake Roberts. I don't even know if they still have him on TV anymore for it. But there are guys you can bring in. Bring in a DDP. You know what I mean? Take Booker T.
Thank you. Bring in a DDP. Yes.
Take a Booker off of out of the commentary position and make him a manager. Like, that would be great.
That would be fire. So that's what I'm looking forward to, is like hoping to see that, like, a lot of that develops, because you know, as Nick said here, like, man, the gift of gab is important. And I understand that there's managers. So if you can't do that, then get a manager that can have that gift of gab. But then we have to also understand that, like, the gift of gab is I could put a workshop together, but some of it's just intangible. Some of it's just some people have it, some people don't. And there's certain wrestlers that I just wish had more of it. Like this whole finger in the air, bloodline shit, like, it's cool. I get it, guys. It's cool. It does not electrify me the way The Rock would, the way Hogan would back in the day, the way Roddy Piper would back in the day. I mean, for God's sakes, Sting didn't even talk, and this nigga had better gift of gab game than a lot of the people I'm looking at, just off the aura and how they played up his presence when he was in space. But, like, even think about, like, Owen Hart and Bret Hart. I mean, we were blessed.
They were more like, go back and watch some of Bret's interviews, and you'd be like, oh, he wasn't really that good in the mic.
But that's the thing, like,
it was the whole
package. When I say great, yes, when I say great, I don't mean that just The Rock's vernacular. I mean, even if you're great at making me cringe, the fact that you can push anything out of me versus me just being flat and monotone, like, is this guy serious right now? Like, you just got the shit slapped out of you, bro. I should feel something about you getting the shit slapped out of you.
Man, I just want to laugh right now.
Yeah. All I could think was Cody's crybabies in my head when he got slapped. Like, oh, damn. And it's leaps and bounds because now that you have somebody like The Rock back into the fold talking on, because, like, let me give you this. I watched Triple H address in his roundabout late way when they're talking about all these dynamics of, like, The Rock coming back. He's declaring some of his dominance, da da da, and then Triple H basically said, "I'm the only guy around here that can do that." That was not the Triple H I know. Well, that was executive Triple H.
Right,
that was executive Triple H. That was Triple H. That was Triple H. Like, let me not go too crazy because my heart's not good.
No. That was planting a seed. That's all that was. They're planting a seed there.
Because I know Triple H, you know what I'm saying? I know Triple H on the mic. Triple H, he was another one, you know what I'm saying?
Let me just tell you, I'm the one that calls the shots at the end of the day, and don't forget it because in the future we could bump heads. That's what that was.
That was nice. I like that. I like it. I guess I just, I don't know, man. Like, The Rock being back has just got me all fucked up. And it's, again, like, hearing the possibility of Stone Cold being back in any capacity, even if they're just passing the torch and getting some of these guys. Because, like, I'll say this. Looking at the bloodline, none of them have Rock's personality, dog.
Right.
Not even close. Even Rikishi had better personality. So somebody in the tree, if you do want to pass it on, you got to get them to go through that boot camp.
Well,
like you said, manage them and you be the one to.
The Rock could do that. The Rock could take that Paul Heyman spot. Paul Heyman can go on to do something with somebody else. He doesn't need to be the wise man.
Oh, my God. You just gave me a whole nother dynamic of how Paul Heyman can get pushed out. Paul Heyman. He can go over. He can get pushed out. He can end up going over there with Cody and them. Oh, shit.
He doesn't have to go with Cody. He can go do anything else. You can put him with somebody completely different. You're trying to build up somebody else. You can put him with an Austin Theory. You can put him with a Carmelo Hayes.
I like that. Yes.
And those are guys.
That's what I feel about Carmelo Hayes. I feel like he had, like, I seen little, like, glimmers of it, but he needs somebody to give him the game, and then he'll blow up.
Right, like, you put him and Heyman together, and they're bouncing off each other for the promo. Oh, now money, absolutely money. You'd print
correct,
money.
Correct, awesome. Yeah, correct. Like, Sting was hilarious. Look at this, like, when he was ripping off the same mask over and over, and didn't say a word, but it said everything. That is masterful shit. Ultimate Warrior was like that. Ultimate Warrior didn't say shit, but when that man started,
the Ultimate Warrior talked a lot.
He did. He did, but I'm talking about, like, yeah, I'm lying.
Ultimate Warrior just didn't make sense when he talked.
He didn't make it. He was coked out of his mind, so it didn't come out audible, but his energy still got me. Even Macho Man was very, like...
But Ultimate Warrior like took the cake. He said shit that was like, I know, go look up some of the Ultimate Warrior's promos, and you'll see someone. You'll be like, "Well, he has one that he's like, what should I do to get ready for the match? Should I lay down and let elephants trample me? Should I lay in the grass and let them run over me with lawnmowers?" What, dude?
Yeah, we're going to have one of those episodes one day where we just review.
Rocket fuel. Yeah, loaded with the words.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Maybe we might have to add that to the Smarties. Like, who had the gift the gab of the year? Who was the one that, who was the seller of the year? You know what I'm saying?
Promo of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, we might have to add that one to the Smarties. We got time.
You know how many, we're going to have to. It would take a lot to go back and find the best promos.
I know, I know. That's true. We'll do it next year. I thought that as I said it, my brain was like, no, we don't.
Right, right. Too, way too much to have to look through and be like, all right, well, was this better than this one? But here's what we got to do. I'm going to put you to task on it as much as me. If you see something that you think, oh, that's a match of the year thing, write gotcha. Down promo of the year. Like, I'll tell you, so before we get out of here, I'll give you guys that one more teaser. Match of the year. So our match of the year nominees for this year's Slammies, Omega versus Ospreay, the first one, not Forbidden Door, the one at Wrestle Kingdom at the beginning of 2023. That was amazing. Forbidden Door, you knew the winner. Great match, but you knew the winner. First one, amazing. Gunther defending the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania last year. And a triple threat against Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. Swerve Strickland versus Adam Page. That bloody, ridiculous fight they just had. Charlotte Flair defends the Women's Championship against Rhea Ripley.
Mm.
The Usos versus Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa.
Mm.
And FTR defends the tag titles against Bullet Club Gold on Collision, July 23rd. Those are the Match of the Year nominees. And real quick, I'll throw one more at you. Worst Match of the Year nominees.
Mm.
Ronda Rousey versus Shayna Baszler, SummerSlam. Bray Wyatt versus LA Knight. That one pained us to put on this, seeing Bray passing away last year. But that match was just so bad. Bray Wyatt versus LA Knight. Tony Storm versus Saraya versus Sheeta. That was in Forbidden Door in England. That was a horrible match. Baron Corbin versus Gable Stevenson, WWE NXT Great American Bash 2023. I don't even think we've ever seen Gable Stevenson since that match. And then Bianca Belair versus Alexa Bliss, Royal Rumble 2023. Those are the worst matches of the year nominees. So if you want to go check those out, check them out. Go to our webpage and our Facebook page and let us know who you think the best and worst matches are and the best female and best male of 2023. We'll put them up there in a poll.
Yo, you be cracking me the fuck up, bro. Like, you all sat up, was like, let me sit up. Those were the worst matches.
We have
to figure out how to like get you into an announcement seat at wrestling, bro, because you would fucking have people in tears, bro. Literally, bro. And if you ever if you ever seen this guy and Galen go back and forth at it in real life, that shit is comedic gold, all right? Oh, man, we watched the game at Sean's crib, man, and that shit was hilarious the whole time. Yo, he got smacked off them two bears, and he was just talking random shit.
No, that was funny. That was looking funny. Also, by the way, I don't know if you guys noticed, if you watched the Super Bowl, Taylor Swift acknowledged the tribal chief and gave her allegiance to the bloodline.
Yeah, you saw my other response to that, right? Taylor Swift and Roman Reigns are both giving their allegiance to Baphomet. That's the devil, dog. He be doing that shit, dog. Y'all gonna have people down that Illuminati rabbit hole.
Oh, we can get an Illuminati wrestling rabbit hole one. That's a whole different live
show. Yeah, we'll do that one day for sure.
But so next week, I don't know what we're gonna talk about next week. We'll play it by ear and figure it out. You'll see. This will so we'll have this on this will still play again on YouTube, right? You can go watch this afterwards.
It's literally streaming live, and it's gonna be there once we get off. So it's already there.
And then the audio will be somewhere else. If you just want to hear the audio at some point, that will be where it normally is, which is everywhere else in the world almost that you can. If you can find podcasts there, you can probably find Smarks there. I feel like the main place is Spotify, but wherever. But that's it. That's all I got today. You got anything else?
Nah, man, just follow the page, like, share the content, man. We hope you're enjoying the programs that we have. We had a snowstorm, football, so much going on. So we shifted things around today. I am on my second live podcast of the day, so I don't be wanting to hear it because I be doing back-end stuff, front-end stuff, co-hosting, do whatever I got to do to help make the project and the magic happen. So I'm just glad that I got through my first, like, gauntlet of potting today with two back-to-back shows, man. And I appreciate y'all for tuning in with us, man. So just look out for stuff that we got going on. Look out for the Smarkies, man. Elimination Champ. We got a lot of shit going on, guys. So just look out.
And for Lonnell Walker, I'm Sean Puff. This has been Smarks, Spot Monkeys, and Super Kicks.
The Smarks in here, the Smarks in here, yeah. About to do before you do it.
Say what?
I telegraphed your every move, but now you're just the coolest. Time to get into it. Moving to the music.
The Smarks in here, the Smarks in here. Yeah. I'm a smart mark. Yeah, I'm a smarky smart. I wrestle talk with Ollie Davis over Hallmark cards. We're pink cards. Subject to change, reigning the superstars. I got a love-hate relationship with pro wrestling. I'm a smart mark. Yeah, I'm a smarky smart. I wrestle talk with Ollie Davis over Hallmark cards. We're pink cards. Subject to change, reigning the superstars. I got a love-hate relationship with pro wrestling.
Here.
What are you all daring about?